CBS Sports Radio.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
Are we flying right along? I think we're flying right along. Hour number three on a Thursday as the clock ticks to Bob's Bar 3 tomorrow morning. It is here. Thanks so much for being with us. In 20 minutes, we're toasting Thirsty Thursday to the good stuff. In 40 minutes, would you wear a family member's tooth like one Major League Baseball player is doing? Just as a precursor to tomorrow, from my mind leaps ridiculousness. It is what I like to traffic in. I love it so much. I feel like so much in life we are wound up to be so serious, to be so anxiety ridden, to be so stressed. I think the world these days pushes our levers to get stressed. And naturally, there's stresses in the world. We all have to make ends meet. We all want to keep our family safe. We all want to make sure that we live a life, try to live a life that makes us at least a little bit happy. And doing so sometimes is stressful. But I do think that from politics to culture to social media to consumerism to everything tends to try to get us to feel stuff like that. I think sports has gotten that way. If you flip on the TV today at any point in time, or you sift through your social media feed, or you listen to sports talk radio, you will probably hear people arguing over sports. Some type of debate, some type of argument. I am right. This is what I believe is right. This is the truth, and you are wrong. And it's all a bunch of levers to make people more stressed than they have to be. Why does it have to be that way? So I like to traffic in ridiculous because to me, it's a pressure release. Nothing is that serious in sports. And this show is a pretty good example of that. I love sports dearly, but most of all, I like to have fun and laugh. And that's what I always want this show to be about. And so tomorrow, it is going to be the peak of zany because it is really the In 3D form, the silliness of this show. And tomorrow we're going to have Zach Gelb dressed as Matt Rule parking cars, your cars. We are going to have Pat Boyle potentially in an assless apron being oiled up by a listener coming from the farthest away. We're going to have Badlands Booker belching in Mraz's face, then slapping him with a kielbasa, then kicking him into the pool as Foxy on the bagpipes plays the New Year's Eve theme song.
Again, Badlands may not be the one kicking in the pool. That is a weight limit on that deck, but yeah.
We will have all types of insanity from a DA show fever dream. It will feel very unrealistic to me.
And potentially Pete the Pirate running the board for us.
Pete the Pirate, arr. And another set of crazy characters from the show, cameos, Katie Linedahl scheduled to join us. I mean, we've got people from all over the place. Katie's going to be there live on site with us. So it's just, it leaps from my mind of the silly into real. And I just want to say thank you to Bob and Nancy because they don't have to open up the gates to Bob's Bar to us, but they do every year. And it's funny because I was trying to explain this to a group of friends of mine from back home. One of my really close friends was back in town. He actually lives on the West Coast. He came into town. We grew up together, went to high school together. And I was trying to explain where I was going to be on Friday while he was in town for a short time and why I couldn't catch up. And he knows that I host a radio show. He knows my career, but he doesn't understand the nuances of the show and the Bob's Bar. So I'm trying to explain this. And I realized how crazy it is to explain to somebody with no idea, no context about what's going on. And I was trying to explain how Bob's Bar is really our Cheers. And it's a kind of a fictional bar where you go for a beer and everybody knows your name. And I say fictional not because it doesn't exist, it does, but for most of us, we don't go there. I mean, for all of the listeners, nobody goes to Bob's Bar, but we all feel like it's our bar. And that's because Bob and Nancy are that welcoming and that warm and that incredible. And it goes to Mraz as well, that Mraz puts a lot of effort into organizing this show. And I'm sure I will say something of the same tomorrow on the show, but just in case I don't, because it's going to be insane, I really just thank this whole family for doing this, because this is the site we would have to have it at. We can't have it at my parents' house because my parents aren't part of the show. We can't have it at Pete the Body's parents' house or his house because he would just never allow us to do so. It could only be at Bob's Bar because West Babylon's become its own character in the show. It is Everybody Loves Raymond with the King of Queens, with the Simpsons. It's just, it's everything. So I just thank the entire family, Mraz included, for doing this for us. And it's going to be amazing. And if you can't make it, fear not. You can watch on YouTube. You can watch on Twitch. You can experience it and then plan for next year to be there, because now we've done it 3 times in a row and hopefully we'll do it another 33 times in a row if Bob's heart is in for it. Because who knows? But it's awesome. It's just awesome. And I'm so excited about tomorrow. And I'm so thankful that they decided to open up their doors again. And I want to remind Bob and Nancy, we promise to be respectful. And you guys will be serenaded with plenty of gratitude from everybody on the show and around the show. I can promise you that. So I don't want too much anxiety around the Mraz household, because I'm sure this morning, Antsy Nancy is chain smoking, and Bob's like, how are we going to get this thing done?
And again, no urinating in the dog's graves, do you? I'm going to reiterate that again, too.
And would you just like to map out where that is so that people know?
Well, upper right corner, and just, you know, no...
Right field.
Yeah.
Down the right field line.
Yeah, no weed joints thrown over there either. Just pay respect. Those dogs lived, a couple Pomeranians lived good lives. Leave them out there to rest in peace.
Yep. Now, the bathroom probably will be open for number one, but all number two needs to be redirected to the Wendy's down the street.
Yeah.
All number two, there is a Wendy's down the block. So just be forewarned.
A Stop and Shop as well.
There's a Stop and Shop. That's very good. That's very good. But just be forewarned that if you feel like there's a train backing up at the station, politely remove yourself. Give yourself some time. Waddle down the street to Wendy's.
Or have Gelb drive the shuttle to you. Once the cars are parked, you got nothing else going on.
Or have Gelb drive a shuttle, dial a Gelb, and take care of your business there, because you don't want to be in a crunch time situation when you're not ready to take that final shot.
Gelb, after parking everybody's car, will be doing the deuce caboose as he shuttles everybody back and forth from Stop and Shop back home.
Deuce caboose.
We're going to actually hear from Gelb coming up here later on in the show. Actually, next hour, we'll hear from Gelb as he prepares for his job tomorrow. I want to ask you guys this. Boyle, are you as big a hockey fan as Mraz, or does Mraz take the cake here on the show?
I mean, I get very, very passionate about my Islanders, but I would say, like, overall, like a general hockey fan of the sport, no.
What I didn't realize until I was talking to a few friends of mine, actually texting with a few friends of mine yesterday, was that there seems to be a resentment towards the Knights of winning the Stanley Cup. That the NHL bent the rules so much to allow Vegas and Seattle to actually be competitive right out of the chute, that the rest of the NHL fan bases have been very bitter about this. And the fact that the Knights won the Stanley Cup made it all the worse. I guess Mraz would be hip to this. Mraz, were you aware that there's a lot of fan bases around the NHL that hated the fact the Knights did it?
Yeah, so full disclosure, absolutely. And there was a part of me, although I rooted for Vegas because I didn't like the Capitals as a Ranger fan a couple years ago, that it dawned on me, this isn't fair. It sucks for so many of us who sit there and deal with these brutal playoff losses and have a team go win a Stanley Cup that quickly and a team like Seattle be that competitive. It stinks. You got to get a little sandpaper as a hockey fan, especially more than any other sport, DA.
You got to grow some calluses.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to have some scabs. You have to have some wounds.
No doubt.
And so Vegas has been in the league for 6 years. Have they made four or five conference finals?
Four conference finals, two Stanley Cups, and a partridge and a pear tree.
They made two Stanley Cup finals, but this is their first championship.
Yes, exactly.
So what? Describe to me what happened here. 6 years ago when they welcomed both Vegas and Seattle, they made better players available in the expansion draft than previous expansion drafts?
Yeah, so the way I understood it, and this is still very confusing to me as to how this leads to a better team, is the team drafting, because remember, you're not drafting against anybody, needs to make up at least like 60 to 100% of the previous year's salary cap. So it's not just young kids. You're going to have to get some veterans on the team that are rolling. And in a lot of cases, the way the salary cap in hockey works, guys due up for those kind of next contracts oftentimes will leave the current team they're on, like a Jonathan Marchessault, who just like, you're going to have to make a tough call, and this is a way for good teams to kind of have to dump out talent that they otherwise probably wouldn't say goodbye to. And then also a lot of the, you know, the game experience as far as the forwards, the defensemen, you needed like a couple of each one of these, the way the roster was fleshed out. So I still don't fully get how that equates to making a better team. This is something that's confused me over the last 6 years. But if you read all of those rules, it adds up to people who are even more dire into this, that you would get a better team quicker than the Blue Jackets or Thrashers or Predators all had to deal with.
And all of those teams, and go back even another generation before that with the Lightning and the Panthers and the Ducks and the Senators, was, in NHL parlance, you just really had to suck for 5 to 10 years before you could really get your act together.
Exactly. And a lot of those times you're taking a lot of young guys or just total waste that were on the back ends of roster and having to build up through like your original own players draft.
And any expansion team is usually like this. The Marlins were like this. The Rockies were like this early. The Rays were like this. The Diamondbacks. A little bit less so with the Rays and Diamondbacks because Major League Baseball also saw the same thing. What happened was expansion fees became so huge that these billionaire owners didn't want to buy in to sucking for a decade. And so the rules of engagement changed. And I think also the league wanted the new markets to be engaged earlier than having to sit around. Remember, when the NHL gave Vegas an expansion team, this was still a huge experiment. Will a professional sports team in Vegas work? Forget even the betting. It's one of the smallest markets in any league. They're the 40th largest television market. Now you'll say, well, there's a lot of tourism dollars there. Well, yes. But still, TV money is a big deal, and television ratings are a big deal. So when you add markets, you don't usually add the 40th largest market in America to your league. You want the market to work. You want your fan base engaged. And you want your billionaire owners to be happy right off the shoot if they're paying tons of money to be in there. So the NHL tweaked the rules to make sure that these teams would be better early. And while I had known that, I didn't realize that that resentment still carried over. So I was ignorant. I was naive to the fact that a lot of people were rooting actively against the Knights the other night and for this entire postseason series. And now it's kind of worst case scenario. It's not a great NHL story for a lot of people. It's the worst NHL story because while everybody else is trying to catch up and win a title.
I don't know about that far. It's the worst.
Well, for some people it is.
I think everybody agrees it's a cool story because the flip side of it is you also don't have like hatred as like a true rival unless you're a Kings fan. So I wouldn't call it the worst, but I think there's an annoyance amongst NHL fans who have been starved of late. So, and again, that's not every fan base. Like, does a Blues fan hate them? Does a Capitals fan hate them?
Well, yes, those two teams did win a Stanley Cup recently, but I was talking to somebody who works closely with television ratings, and they were pointing out the fact that the ratings for this Cup Final is a disaster, that they were really, really, really bad. Now, part of that is that these are not national brands, Knights and Florida Panthers, and it wasn't a great series. It was over in five. But his point was there's a large portion of the ratings that will not be good this year because there's a lot of boycotting from fan bases. I don't want to see the Knights win a cup. So when I say worst case scenario, you guys can huff and puff all you want. You might not feel that way. But what I'm telling you is there is somebody close to the situation that told me that's part of the equation, that there were resentful hockey fans that purposefully didn't watch because they didn't want to see the Knights win.
So I'm not denying that I'm sure there are some of those people that existed. I believe, because I'm annoyed that the Knights won, and I know a lot of people who are also Ranger fans, Islander, at least in my area, are also annoyed the Knights won. But the thought never crossed our mind that we wouldn't watch the Stanley Cup as hockey fans, yeah, as diehard hockey fans, because we might be rooting against, plenty of us are rooting for the Panthers. We might be rooting against them. But I don't know how many. This kind of reminds me, and I know this is completely apples to oranges, when, you know, the whole NFL boy, people were threatening to do that. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure some people were doing that. But how many are really doing it for that reason? I don't think the diehard hockey fans were doing it. Now, you may not get casual fans to jump in. I think that in lies the problem.
But casual fans don't know the Vegas backstory.
Exactly.
So, and D, I don't know who you're talking about. So it's weird to argue against him or her. But I have not heard or seen people talking about not watching because of this. Plus, the ratings actually were good through the first three rounds. The final specifically took a nosedive, and I think that's about the Panthers. It's about Vegas also not being a historical franchise, and it's about TNT. All the numbers for the finals are the worst since the last time the final was exclusively on cable like it was this year. That's the driving factor to this. There, like, unless I've completely missed it, I don't think there's some kind of organized anti-Vegas boycott thing here. What hurt them was it's not Toronto, it's not LA, it's not the Rangers, not Montreal, it's not the Lightning, Montreal, nothing. It's about being on TNT and not being on ABC like they were last year.
Well, just remember that you guys are in the media, so you're going to watch no matter what. You guys both love hockey, so you're going to watch no matter what. We had Canadian bacon. You're going to watch no matter what. If you were a Calgary Flames fan and you're like, I haven't seen a cup since the 80s, and now I'm going to watch the Knights win. If you are a Maple Leafs fan, if you are a Bruins fan, I guess the Bruins won relatively recently, but if you are one of these fans that feel like I haven't seen my team win in forever and I'm sticking it out, and now I got to watch the damn Knights go to another cup, I'm not doing it. We're not part of those communities. And to say that it's not part of that, I think.
But I'm also not part of the Oakland A's community.
A lot of fan bases that feel that way.
Right, but I'm also not part of the Oakland A's community or other people that, or other things that have bothered people. And I've never seen any of this. Like, I'm on Twitter almost 24/7, sadly, and reading hockey posts and blogs and watching NHL Network. Like, I have seen no sign of any significant plan to not watch these games that would shave 2 million viewers off the number, which is what happened. Like, I'm not arguing against the existence of these people, but it does not strike me like this is the reason why the finals were so lowly watched.
Well, it might not be the reason, but it could be a reason.
Yeah. But you used the words like most earlier and lots, and that's what I don't necessarily think is true.
So you have to remember that the potential audience for a Stanley Cup final is already not huge because it's not a huge American sport. So you already have a relatively small pie. Now, from that pie, as you said, you take some of that pie away because it's not a competitive series. You take some of that pie away because it's the Florida Panthers versus the Knights. You take some of that pie away because it's on TNT. And then you might take some of that pie away from the equation because there's a host of fan bases that said, we're the Columbus Blue Jackets and we didn't get that benefit, or we're so-and-so, we didn't get that benefit, and why should they win a cup before we have? We've been waiting XYZ. I mean, even if it's not a lot of people in the grand scheme of things, from that pie, if it's X number of people, it could have affected the rating.
Now, DA, I don't know, again, who you talk to, but I believe the league is not considering a theory that I would love you to go back to this person with, if you just bear with me.
Yeah.
we went through a 3-week period in the build-up to the Cup where I was no longer doing Canadian bacon, and I think that the segment probably lost a little bit of buzz.
No.
And therefore, there were so many people tuning into the NHL playoffs that listened to this show nationally and up in Canada that couldn't get enough of hearing me do Canadian bacon. And I wonder if me stopping doing bacon, I mean, it simply coincides with the early non-viewers of the Cup. And suddenly, at the end, I jump in the last two games. Those were the two highest-rated games of the Cup. I think you should propose that back to this person if Canadian bacon and my lack of doing it for 3 weeks affected the ratings.
So a couple
it's
of things. Game five was actually terribly watched. Nobody watched game five, which was preparing for your bacon. So your theory is immediately dead in the water.
Well, I think the big concern would be, was Boyle's botched bacon the true reason why game five numbers tanked? That nobody could stay engaged because Boyle's botched bacon sunk the entire night.
Wow. I mean, that's distinctly possible. I would be more prone to believe that than 1 million Calgary Flame fans did not watch it because they hate the Knights.
Flames fans, Oilers fans, Canadiens fans, Maple Leafs fans, they all hate this team.
I hate them. I just rooted against them.
I still got scars from that, man. That's messed up that you would even propose that idea.
I hope the scars aren't on your bad butt because you might be seeing that tomorrow.
I would say this, though, too, and maybe I don't feel resentment at all because it's both of the teams are in the Western Conference. Like, if there's an Eastern Conference expansion team that knocks out the Islanders and wins the Cup, then I'd probably be pissed, so I guess I'm biased. But I would also say this, like, for the Columbus Blue Jackets in Florida, whoever gave away Marchessault and... whoever the other player, like, figure out, don't give up the valuable players.
Yes.
Figure out, protect the right guys. You know, it's not like you can take a first-line center or somebody starting goaltender.
Right.
Like, you're taking second-line, third-line guys now rather than it was like you were only allowed to take fourth-liners and, like, you know, losers back then before Vegas became a team. So learn as a GM how to protect your guys. And even then, this team still had to be well-coached. They were. They still had to win very close, tight games. They were. And they still had to have a GM that then added to the team in the years since. It would be different if, like, they got to the Cup in the first year, which they did, and then they kind of fizzled out. No, they've maintained this excellence. So if anybody is not watching these games and didn't watch the Cup because of a resentment towards Vegas, I would say you're a loser and a punk.
Yes. Yeah. Boyle's right. The story is not necessarily the changes to the system. It's the fact that they hit on almost everything they did from day one.
Right. Bart Winkler's not winning a Marconi because we left Bilotti unprotected.
Right. They could not have done this better. They took advantage of the situation, yes, but they didn't leave the expansion draft with 14 all-stars. They left with guys who were like mediocre players that they were, I guess, guessed right on and took off. And the big benefit of year one was taking Marc-Andre Fleury's contract off of, I guess, it was Chicago's hands, that were Pittsburgh's hands, and he was the reason why they got to the Cup final. Like, that's what worked them. And since then, they made moves that anybody else could have made and didn't, and they did, and they win a Cup. If so, Boyle said it better, but you're a punk if you're still hating on him now, 6 years later.
Well, the ratings were not good, so there had to be a reason why. When we come back here on the show, it is a Thirsty Thursday. We're toasted to the good stuff, and we are just one day away from Bob's Bar. Yes! TA, CBS Sports Radio.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
Yes, sir. Booskies this morning. Mirage, who are you toasting to?
DA, I have two toasts for you. Number one, I am toasting whatever the ointment is that Pete's using on his eye that will get him to Bob's Bar tomorrow.
Yeah.
Obviously, that stuff's got to be some powerful stuff. Get them all cleaned up and get them there. The number two booski I'm handing out, our listener Justin, previously Justin in Albany, He has made the giveaways for tomorrow. The first 60 customers through the door tomorrow, or patrons through the door tomorrow,
yeah,
will receive these magnetic bottle openers that I have seen the early images of, and they look really cool and really awesome. And I can safely say he made so many other bottle openers last year that we had so many left over that Bob has used them as giveaways all throughout the year.
Wow,
you know, you come to Bob's bar, you have a beer, you leave with a keychain. I still saw him handing those out as late as March this year. So I just think what Justin's brought to the table is unique. It's cool. It's unnecessary. He doesn't have to do it, but it's really awesome. And I think some of you guys are going to leave with a really cool souvenir tomorrow as a result.
Booskies.
Right on.
Booskies.
Booskies.
AB, Andrew Bogus, who are you toasted to?
So you guys have probably seen this or heard this because the commercial is running a lot in our area. It's not a national thing, but there's a commercial for those of you who don't live here. A commercial running TV, radio, it's in print as well. It's for a local hospital about a 12-year-old boy that was born with half a heart and had crazy multiple surgeries. Doctors have basically built his heart into a correctly, fully working heart, even though he's missing half of it. And now he leads a regular life, plays hockey, plays whatever.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
He's my daughter's buddy. We've known him and his family
really?
For forever.
Wow.
So while he's only 12, so he can't get the actual booski, I'm toasting to Jack and his doctors for getting Jack happy, healthy, and having a regular life after what I can't even imagine, the trauma of your son or daughter being born with such an issue. It's a great story, and it's super cool that it's getting at least notoriety around in these parts here in New York City. So
Wow. Toast
to all of them.
Booski!
No doubt. That is a crazy story. Wow. He's 12 years old, and he's all good.
All good.
Wow. That is awesome. Booski's definitely all around there. All right, Pat Boyle, who are you booskiing to?
I got a toast to my catcher from college who went to the Subway Series Yankees-Mets game with me. Corey drove all the way to City Field in Queens in rush hour traffic, which is not an easy drive, nor is it a non-frustrating one. And Uncle Patty had some road sodas on the way. So, you know, he offered. He goes, dude, he goes, I don't mind driving. I was like, are you sure? Because I was going to drive. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know what? He goes, I'll drive. So he goes, you know, you want to have some road sodas? I said, say no more. So the whole way there, I was having a good time. I was on my phone, which I feel like I lose the ability to check things on my phone just because of when we're driving. That sounded really stupid, but you know what I mean. So I had an hour and a half of just scrolling Twitter, answering texts, answering emails, doing whatever the hell I want. A little road soda here. How you doing? So
you didn't talk to your buddy while he's driving?
Did I talk to him?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Okay,
but, like,
good.
You know, the occasional check of the phone there. I was able to free hand. I had free hands. I could do what I want, scratch my junk, do whatever I want, not be distracted. So
nice.
Toast to Corey for driving all the way to City Field and back last night.
Booskies!
Right. That was a long story to get your usual junk mention in.
Yeah, the over-under on that one was 30 seconds into the toast, so we hit the over.
I am toasting to all of these D-aliens that are making this trip tomorrow. I can't believe how many emails I've gotten, DMs I've gotten of people that want to be part of this. I'm extremely grateful. It's going to be awesome. You guys are taking time out of your day. You are going to airports and getting into cars and all this type of stuff. And I'm just like, wow. I mean, Redneck Jimmy tweets, I'm heading to DFW Airport right now. I will see you bozos tomorrow. DFW being Dallas-Fort Worth. So Redneck Jimmy's coming in from Texas for this event tomorrow. This is just one of many stories that I'm seeing like this. So tomorrow's going to be amazing. I appreciate the loyalty, the patronage, and just being good friends. It just feels like everybody tomorrow is going to be good friends, and I'm fired up about it. So booskies to everybody that's going to be making the trip tomorrow. It's going to be awesome.
Booskies!
Don't tell Bob, by the way. We got people flying in.
Especially cowboy territory. That was the wrong one to read.
Chris tweets, hey, good morning, DA. I'm just curious about the tip policy for Zach Gelb parking cars. Have we decided on this? Are we supposed to tip Gelb, or is this just his job?
It's a shame that this is not coinciding because we could have taken all tips and sent it to Avery's GoFundMe. No, I think it's his job. I don't think you could receive a tip at all.
You shouldn't tip him, and he can't
actually,
take it.
I don't know, though. Because wouldn't it be great if Zach ended the day with like $100 in tips and Pete realizes he missed out on being a valet?
Oh, yeah, right.
That just came to me. Oh, how great would that
all
be?
Right, $5
Pete,
tips.
Look how much cash I got doing this.
Wow. Are you beneath straight cold cash? Yeah.
Because that was Pete's big thing, the jobs beneath them. But if you make a nice, hefty payday tomorrow.
Right? Squishy Liquid says, question, is anybody going to be an EMT in attendance between both Booker's, Boyle's bare butt cheeks, and Bosses, as in keel bosses? I see a lot of potential for injury. Do we have one of those?
I believe there will be one on standby, but exactly what kind of injury does somebody think is going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, you get hit with a wiener, you get hit with a wiener.
I guess choking would be the number one concern, choking, right?
Yeah. I can give the Heimlich.
And oh, good.
And will be readily available. Mouth to mouth, maybe.
Wow. Backwards Brian says, I arrived at work this morning and found a very nice Nike Orioles t-shirt over my chair at my desk. So Booskies to the secret gifter, whoever they are. Made my day. Hashtag
Booskies. Hold on. Is he sure it's not somebody else's that they ran to the bathroom draped over a chair quick?
It's over his chair. I think a wise man once told me, finders keepers, losers weepers. Rob the 321 is toasting Kyle in Arizona. Booskies to him for having not one but two teams to the finals. He's had a great year for his sports fandom. He's seen the Heat win three titles, and now his Knights. Congrats, Kyle. Hashtag Booskies.
That's nice. Rob's a changed man.
They're usually at each other's throats.
Rob is, I think Rob and the 321 is having a big turnaround this last month.
You think Rob, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Tiny Elvis says, even though Rob drives me bananas, I am toasting him today. Buying drinks for tomorrow is a very cool thing. Hashtag unpipe it.
Booskies.
People are coming around on Rob. Kristen in Buffalo says, I'm toasting Bob and Nancy for opening up their home to the show. I won't be there, but hope it's a wild success. And all of the D-Aliens, be good and be good to one another so I can attend Bob's 4 next year. Booskies to Bob and Nancy. Indeed. And Mac and Bear from Delaware says, good morning, guys. Just a quick question. Can Gel park a 53-foot truck? Booskies to my youngest son and his graduation. Proud of him. Hashtag college bound.
Booskies.
Wouldn't that be great if Gelb had to park a semi outside of Bob and Nancy's house? Where does the 53-foot truck go in West Babylon?
Back to Delaware would be my answer.
That's got to be parked in the Wendy's parking lot, right?
Exactly.
It's parked at the Wendy's parking lot. Unless he rolls it up right directly next to Bob's bar, and that's like the overflow party. They do it inside the truck.
Inside the truck.
That's where the porta potties are.
All right. We'll do more Booskies as we make our way through the morning, but standing by with headlines, here's a kind sir, Andrew Bogish.
Headlines this hour sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. So bundle today at progressive.com. It's as confusing as Pete's explanation for not using the parking meter app here in Manhattan. Bills head coach Sean McDermott now says he excused Stephon Diggs from Tuesday's mandatory minicamp workout after saying he was very concerned by Diggs missing that workout. There's no drama yet, though, in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson still thankful the Ravens signed Odell Beckham Jr.
I think he looked pretty smooth. Crisp routes, great hands. As everybody knows, you know, he can catch the ball. Look pretty good out there.
Baltimore has also inked first-round pick BC wideout Zay Flowers. The four-year deal has a fully guaranteed $14 million. Half of that's a signing bonus. This leaves 11 unsigned first-rounders, including the top five picks.
Flowers signed, so things are blooming in Baltimore, huh?
The Yankees were in position
it's
for
not
a...
funny.
He said the Yankees were in position for a two-game sweep of the Mets after Isaiah Kiner-Falefa did this, top seven.
2-1 coming. Here he comes home. The throw is wild. He steals home. He steals home. Kiner-Falefa. He is Ralph Kiner-Falefa.
No, he's not. But the straight steal of home did.
What was that?
That's the end of the home run call.
He's Ralph Kiner-Falefa?
Yes. Yeah.
It is.
A home run call, as in a Ralph Kiner reference?
Yes.
Yes.
Terrible. Terrible, 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 terrible.
Awful. That's his home run call?
No, he's only hit four as a Yankee, so we haven't heard it a lot.
What kind of joke is that? What kind of pun is that? That's terrible.
Wait, I've got the whole one because there's the back half. You know, as always, there's two references. So here's the whole. Let me see if it loads up here. Here's the whole Kiner Falefa home run tag.
He is Ralph Kiner Falefa. Hey, homers to the left field seats. Isaiah, a player.
Okay, Isaiah, a player I could deal with. What percentage of a 2023 audience knows a Ralph Kiner reference?
Not a lot.
Who would possibly get that joke?
G-Man is a He-Man.
Oh, my goodness. What's his name? Isaiah Kiner Falefa?
Yes.
Yeah.
But is it Kiner? K-I-N-E-R?
Yes. 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 Yep. His last name is Kiner Falefa.
So he's
Ralph. Ralph's grandson.
Ralph Kiner Falefa. Oh, that's got to be the worst one ever.
By the way.
Oh, I'm wrong.
DA, unsure of Isaiah Kiner Falefa, make sure you download New York Accent Everywhere podcasts are available. Guy's only been a Yankee for 2 years.
He is not showing up on the pod. I am not interviewing this guy.
No, a text message.
Tommy John, I'm in. The 1974 World Series, you got
Constantine Maroulis number two.
Kind of 11, no. Not happening.
No. I'm just wild about Harry. Harry.
It's wild about, oh, ow, ow, I got hit, ow.
Yoenis.
It was a straight steal of home. It gave the Yanks a 3-1 lead that did not last.
The 0-1. Swinging a high drive. Hit deep right field. Bowers back to the track at the wall. It is off the wall. Escobar racing around third. Taking the turn. The cutoff throw from right center field is not in time. Escobar slides in safely.
With a 4-3 Mets win in 10. That was Keith Ratt on the call. Also in 10 innings last night, the Phillies 4, the Diamondbacks 3. The Dodgers took an 8-4 home loss from the White Sox. The Rays cooled off the A's 6-3. And the Reds 7-4 winners in KC since he gets the 3-game sweep and has won 5 in a row overall. We began this hour with Bradley Beal's future. Zion Williamson's future might include a trade. The Pelicans reportedly opened the idea of moving Zion to get a top 3 pick next week. They apparently would use that selection on Scoot Henderson. Mm. And UConn women's basketball star Paige Beckers is close to full clearance from last August torn ACL, the second major knee injury of her college career. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back here on the show, more Booskies coming your way. And would you wear a family member's tooth? Speaking of one of the names that Bogues just mentioned, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Something a little more juice.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Tomorrow morning is the Bob's Bar Show. You can watch all of the insanity on YouTube like you can every single morning, but tomorrow is going to be specifically a great morning to watch the ridiculousness. We really don't have a timeline yet. Dixie Landan was asking for that. We got to figure that out over the course of today. But all 4 hours will be pretty ridiculous, I'm sure. And so you could watch it all live or archived on YouTube. Also, you could watch on Twitch and at watchda.com. But the full show will be archived on YouTube after the show wraps up at 10 Eastern tomorrow. Yankees outfielder Oswaldo Cabrera, during this Subway Series against the Mets, has been wearing his grandmother's tooth on a necklace. Oswaldo Cabrera told the Yes Network that it was because his mom asked him to. Quote, whatever my mother tells me to do, I'm going to do. Now, we don't know, or at least the story doesn't say, whether Oswaldo Cabrera's grandmother passed away. Mraz, do you have that detail, or is she still with us?
No, because I was watching the game live on Yes Network, and they did not say that. I heard them talk about the story on the air, and all it mentions is the mother wanted him to wear the grandmother's tooth. So I this is probably a terrible assumption. I am under the assumption she did pass away, and it's like his memory of her is her tooth was turned into a necklace. But I don't know what's creepier, whether she's alive or passed away.
She's absolutely passed.
Okay.
How do you know that, Boyle?
I was actually listening to the local radio station, WFAN, this morning, and I heard Jerry Recco mention it.
I see.
Okay. So I'm actually, I cannot confirm 100%. I've got an article pulled up here, but they did mention it on the radio this morning.
Because that would make more sense if your grandmother passed away and you were wearing the tooth rather than if she was alive. That would seem weird to wear somebody's, a living person's tooth.
For sure.
There's Merez behind me going,
because, I mean, because you're saying it makes sense. I mean, for sure, I guess it makes more sense because you don't want to be looking at a grandmother with a missing tooth and going, oh, it's on his neck. I get that. But, I mean, this isn't a piece of jewelry, is it? You're wearing a tooth?
Okay, so at its core, this is pretty wild. I can't for the life of me think I'd ever find myself in a situation where I'd wear somebody's tooth, living or dead. But in honoring the dead, there's got to be something better to wear from that person. I mean, the tooth end, it begs the question, was this tooth removed after she passed away for saving purposes? Or did she lose a tooth, give it to her daughter as an heirloom, and then say, like, when I'm gone, I want you to wear this?
I hadn't even considered that part of it. Did they yank a tooth from a corpse, or even creepier, the grandmother give the tooth while still alive?
That's my guess, is she was probably still alive.
And she lost a tooth in old age, unless this is her baby tooth that she still saved. I mean, some people, I guess, save baby teeth, right?
What, are you keeping in a Ziploc bag with your socks? I mean, come on.
Did you keep any of the baby teeth of your daughters?
No, but I did for a long time keep fingernail clippings of myself for about 5-6 years.
Your own fingernail clippings?
From like 8 to 13, every time I clipped my fingernails, I put them in a Ziploc bag and I kept them in my sock drawer.
Why?
And then it took one of my friends to tell me that was really weird, and I threw them out when I was 13.
Yeah, what was the thinking there?
I don't know. It just felt like something I should keep. I don't know. I was a weird kid.
Oh, my God. That is really weird.
Were you planning on doing anything with them?
I don't know. I would clip them. I'd have them on my nightstand. I was young. I was an idiot. And I put them in a Ziploc bag, and I kept, like, I had 5 years' worth of fingernail clippings in my sock drawer.
Yeah, wrong on so many levels. Why would you clip them on your nightstand and not, like, over a toilet or a trash can?
Again, I do that now as an adult. 8 to 13, you do weird things. I don't know, man. I was playing Ken Griffey Jr. baseball and keeping my fingernails.
And your your buddy saw your sock drawer?
Well, I don't know how. I forgot how it came up. He's like, dude, that's, you really should throw those out. You're never going to need those. I don't know why I did it.
Need those? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're not usually a productive piece of your future.
Yeah, but like, imagine me keeping those all these years later. I die, and then my daughter's playing a soccer game with my fingernail clippings and a necklace. That's what Oswaldo Cabrera is doing here.
Yeah, this one's a weird one. I could understand wearing a piece of jewelry from your grandmother. What else could you? I mean, something she knitted, perhaps.
Or like a piece of something, like her clothing, whatever, that you know, maybe cut into something different. You have a bandana made from a nice shirt she always wore.
A lucky stone that she had. A shell, some type of heirloom.
Right.
Something that,
her flower vase. Right.
But if you were wearing it, like, on yourself, it'd be hard to wear a vase.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, boy, a tooth, unless maybe that happens in a different culture and we just are unaware, man, that this is good luck.
Yeah, he did say, he did mention in the interview he did on Yes Network that his mom's side is from an indigenous family in Venezuela. So they have a lot of, I guess, unique superstitions. I was cracking up because I saw a thing of Paul O'Neill going, yeah, it looks like grandma had a filling in that tooth, too.
I'll just say this. If it's good luck, he'd hit over 230, to be honest.
Does an indigenous person have fillings? I guess you would have had to.
Root canals. I don't know.
I mean, wow.
I mean, Herbie was a dentist. He was an elf.
You've always had a problem with Herbie, though, going to dental school.
Because it made no sense. He built that place too quickly. There's no way you could schedule appointments a week out. You haven't even begun construction on the office yet, nor have you gotten any of your proper documentation.
Who the hell is Herbie?
From Rudolph.
From Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
He's still an elf. He said, I'm going to see you a week from Wednesday. You don't even have an office yet. It's a disgrace. It's an insult, honestly, anybody went to dental school.
We might be able to get Herbie a dental office in Mac and Bear's truck that parks next to Bob's bar tomorrow morning. Coming up next here on the show, Zion Williamson could be dealt. And next hour, we are going to hear from Zach Gelb ahead of his parking car turn. DA, CBS Sports Radio.